WPFW, Washington.
Live from Ben's Next Door, 12th and U Streets Northwest, it's the Raucous Caucus with Garland Nixon, Mark Levine, and Terry D. Kester. It's seriously funny, and it begins right now.
And good evening, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus at Ben's Next Door. I am Terry D. Kester with, to my right,
Mark Levine.
And to my left,
Garland Nixon.
What a team. What a team. Incredible. WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica is the station that we're broadcasting on. And this is the Raucous Caucus, and we are at Ben's Next Door at, what is it, 1211 U Street?
1211 U Street, for anyone who wants to come join us.
Yeah. Come
right
on
next
down
to Ben's Chili Bowl.
Yeah, have some good food and join us. In fact, I got a little chili left over here you can have. And come on down and join us.
You don't want the remains of Terry's chili.
Hey, I didn't chew on it. It's just sitting there in
the
bowl.
Don't know, Terry. It looks kind of... Well,
anyway.
And we've got
moving on. We've
got one free drink to give away. That's half of Mark's Diet Coke, I think. You can have the rest of that. What the heck?
Or come down and, you know, ask questions. We have a mic here. We accept your questions and comments. We welcome them. Come join us down at Ben's Next Door. We are here every second, fourth, and fifth Tuesday.
And this is a special fifth Tuesday program.
It is a special fifth Tuesday program. And then on the first and third Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., we're in the studio, which allows us to take phone calls. Here, we want you live. So come join us if you can. I have one.
Come if you're dead. That kind of freaks us out.
But Terry, it's too hot for a lot of people to come.
It is.
Segue.
No, before we segue, I've got to do a little announcement
here.
Okay. Because this is just kind of neat. Thursday, June 2nd, 11 p.m., Thursday late night jazz host Bobby Hill, which I'm sure you guys all listen to, celebrates the beginning of Black Music Month with a freestyle fellowship on black music with guest programmers Captain Fly of the Oldies House Party, Scooter Magruder, The Blues Computer of Don't Forget the Blues, Decipher, Soul Controller, Zed Bushead, moderated by Katia Stitt. The second hour will reflect on the music of recently departed musician, poet, Gil Scott Heron. That's Thursday, June 2nd. Some great music with some of our best hosts at 11 p.m. WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. Listen to it. Now you're listening to the Raucous Caucus. And guys, I got to scare you here. I know it's going to scare you.
You mean different from normally?
We're easily frightened, Terry.
Yeah, I'm not going to bite you.
Do you ever not frighten us?
I'm not going to bite you. It's okay. It's okay. We're going to talk about something we don't normally talk about. You know, there is a political element, obviously, which I'm sure we'll touch on. But we're going to talk about science.
I thought we were talking about the weather.
Right. I don't believe in science, Terry. Yeah,
well, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. Isn't that what they always say?
Right.
We got nothing to say.
Is that science?
You sit at a bus stop.
Yeah. This is kind of special to me because I was raised in St. Louis, right outside St. Louis. I was there, so you can know my age again, for the 57 tornado, which was the prior worst
1857?
Tornado.
1857? There was
19,
a tornado? Oh, okay, all right.
We were fighting the Civil War in 1850. No, we weren't. Well, we were thinking about it. I was there for that tornado, which wiped out this whole incredible area right down in downtown St. Louis, just stripped it bare. And it's not as bad, though, nearly as bad as what happened in Joplin, and that is an anomaly of a tornado.
A mile wide, I think.
I'm sorry?
I think it was a mile wide, wasn't it?
Depends on where it was in its track, but it went for, what, 6 miles? Something like that. It was a mile wide. It went in a very straight track, which is very unusual. It had vortexes within it. So there was actually, like, tornadoes within the tornado.
Maybe it was the rapture.
No, that was May 21st, Mark.
Sorry.
I'm just checking.
There's nothing worse.
I wasn't taken up. I figured,
you got to get the chronology of the end of the world right.
I was scheduled for the rapture, but something went wrong. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, it's because of those drugs you took at 67.
It's probably because of the Raucous Caucus. It's probably because of, you know, cancel my rapture appointment. Anyway. That tornado was truly significant, and it's not obviously. Now, again, you know, we're going to qualify in terms of science. No one event can you say is directly caused by global warming, but patterns you can say are caused by global warming. So my question to you first, Mark.
Yes.
Is, do you believe in science?
Science?
Science. Are you willing to
accept
science?
That's like believing in mathematics. That's like believing that 2 + 2 = 4. And I've been told by a number of conservative sources that 2 + 2 only = 4 when it helps Republicans get elected.
Yeah, well, it has nothing. 2 doesn't = 2 when you're dealing with a deficit. Or 2 = 4.
Right.
2 + 2.
So
yeah.
Science, now that's the thing that, let me get this straight, that conservatives say is practiced by elitists in ivory towers who think they know better just because they've studied it.
In Manhattan.
Right, how dare they.
In Manhattan, you left that out.
Yeah, yeah.
Upper West Side.
So, right. Or San Francisco.
And Garland, you're a well-known scientist, aren't you?
Yeah, precisely.
But I assume that you guys, I trust that you guys are perfectly aware of the reality of global warming.
Well, you know, I kind of look at it like this. It's normal. We as people, you know, we look at things that we believe and we kind of, it's a normal thing for a person to kind of accept things that go along with what they already believe and kind of discount things that that don't go along with what they believe. It's normal. Everybody does it. Everyone does it. That's fairly normal.
Mark and I don't do that.
But when it comes to certain things, I think you have to put that aside. Like, for instance, I don't know, I'm thinking climatology, meteorology, and anything that ends in ology,
physics.
You probably ought to pay more attention to actual empirical evidence than, you know, just what you really want to believe.
And it's fascinating, too, because one of the reasons I want to talk this topic is exactly what you're talking about. We have moved into this social time, this social political time, where what we believe emotionally has more value than what we would reasonably or logically discover.
Remind me to throw that argument back at you in a couple of weeks, Terry.
Okay.
On some other point, I'm sure. I'm going to throw that back.
Oh, no, 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 no,
just
no,
mark
no,
this
no,
moment,
no, no,
because
no.
In 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to say something, and I'm going to say, Terry, there's emotion and there's fact.
No. The difference there, we'll clarify just so the audience can get all prepared for it, is you have this practical, systematic approach to solving problems, forgetting about human beings.
Human beings
are emotional people. So yes. As Garland was saying, if you don't take that into the equation, which is the problem we're having now, because why would, it's like you said, Garland, would people resist science?
Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I was just going to say, there used to be a conservative movement that said that they don't believe in relativity. They don't believe in subjectivity. Things exist, they would say. The chair exists. Math exists. Science exists. Oops, wait, no. Science says there's global warming, and that means that corporations are ruining the planet, and therefore we can't believe that anymore. But they used to say there is an objective reality out there. And I think that really is the heart of the question. Do you believe there's an objective reality out there, or do you believe that everything is just whatever your mind thinks it is?
Well, apparently that seems to be, if that's the case. And you were talking about this Tea Party thing, and I know you can't use the exact language was going on.
Basically, this was maybe 2 years ago or so. I think it was during the presidential race. And I'm watching one of the shows, and they're showing one of the news programs, and they're showing these people. It kind of stuck in my mind. It was a Tea Party event, and they're going around to different things that happened at this event, you know, different things that were said and different things they're doing. And they stopped at this one little area, and there's a guy on stage who's talking, and he's saying, "What do we call global warming?" And the whole crowd is yelling, "BS."
But they're not spelling it out.
Yeah, they weren't exactly using
radio.
the initials.
Yeah. Right.
And he's saying this over and over again, kind of like a religious chant. You know, what do we call global warming? And they all yell all in unison.
I'm thinking it's like we've gone back to the 15th century or 16th century. I mean, you know, Copernicus, you know, Galileo, whatever. Say, hey,
that's right.
You know, the Earth
Ptolemy.
Is not the
Earth
center
goes
of the
around the sun and gets excommunicated by the Catholic Church for it.
In fact, for 1500 years. Everything in the universe revolved around the Earth
until Copernicus
came
really
along and screwed it up.
You know,
well, he got that silly telescope, and he looked inside it, and he saw something different from what he was taught, and that
Terry,
silly fool.
There goes Mark with that liberal elitism.
That's right.
That silly fool said
what he saw in his telescope. Yeah. And what I find amazing for the conservative deniers of global warming is, okay, so you don't believe the climatologists that have, you know, very carefully taken the temperature everywhere around the world for the last 150 years. All right, that's too confusing. It's math.
Yeah,
maybe they
got
it wrong. How about massive pictures of the Arctic ice shelf? Now,
yeah,
when
gone.
I was a kid, the Arctic was frozen over. It was understood that you could actually plant a pole in the North Pole because there was ice there.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, call me crazy, but I guess today we're going to soon learn about the Arctic Ocean and later on, I guess, go water skiing in it.
You see, it's a very positive change.
Right.
You know,
you can build resorts there.
Found the passage, you know, through to China. Now we've got that passage.
Well, Palin wanted the bridge to nowhere. Now we can have the bridge to Siberia.
Yeah, right.
Mark, if that isn't good enough, I mean, you don't want to believe the scientists and you don't want to look at the, the North Pole. I got something that's probably a little more obvious. Walk outside.
No, it's 100 degrees outside. I'm not going to go outside. It'll kill Garland. It is May. It is 100 degrees in Washington, D.C. Yeah. I will not go outside. I'm going to sit there in my air-conditioned home, air-conditioned by the coal.
And hide under my pillow.
And natural gas and all of that. Because if I go outside, it's too hot out, and then I'll have to... Well, I mean, I can't examine whether global warming exists. It's just too hot outside.
I looked outside my window, and I saw a camel on my front yard, and he died of thirst.
Let me bring in a little more science into it. I'm sure
carrying a polar bear, which is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Most of our listeners are probably aware of Mike Tidwell, and I've actually been talking to him today, and he was going to try to get on the show, and he couldn't arrange his schedule. And later on, we probably will have him on. He has the show Earthbeat, and which is now a syndicated show.
And, Scorched. I think they're going to change the name to Scorched Earthbeat.
Yeah. Right. And, I think he's director ahead of the Chesapeake Foundation, one of the major groups in trying to solve the Chesapeake Bay. He's a scientist. He's been studying this for umpteen years, and he's an amazing guy. And the reason I bring him up, I don't know if you saw this article in February Washington Post that he wrote.
Yes.
And he has been very practical in his life. He built one of the first almost truly completely green houses. He used... recyclable fuels or renewable fuels to heat the house and everything else. He used solar panels. He did all of that trying to create this green house, which today is quite possible. He's gone a whole step further in this article. And those of you who know, this is a very rational, credible man. He is now basically preparing for the chaos that he sees coming because of global warming, the social chaos. He's gone so far, and, he confessed it. He's gone so far, he's basically, he's bought guns is what it boils down to. He's...
Really? Because if you shoot the global warming, it stops? I'm going to try that.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Don't
shoot at global warming.
I saw that on Fox.
Global warming doesn't kill people. Guns kill global warming. Wait, I'm confused, Terry.
I feel like
I'm sitting next to Sarah Palin.
I think Glenn Beck came up with a theory of shooting. You buy more
guns.
Please,
I stay at my job longer than 3 months.
Yeah. But back to Mike. What he points out, let me just give you some of the information here. One of these things is really, really kind of scary. And this is not BS. This is what's going to happen. Scientists,
or what's already happening.
Scientists are now predicting that the planet could warm another 5 degrees by the end of this century. Well, some people, even my relatives, say, so what's 5 degrees?
Oh, gosh.
Who cares? I'll tell you what's going to happen if it does raise 5 degrees. Iowa is done for. I'm quoting from the article. Corn and wheat will wither and die on a scale never before seen. That's because heat-triggered mega droughts will intensify across much of America's continental interior region, scientists say, as flooding increases elsewhere. Iowa and much of the heartland will resemble a scrub desert.
We can move the caucuses to Maine.
Caucuses. We can't move the wheat, and we can't move the corn. And
we could eat artificial chemicals.
That's probably what it's going to come. You remember Soylent Green?
No.
People are Soylent Green.
But the point is, we are threatening our food supply with what's happening. We truly are. And the one thing that gets me, if this is even close to true, and I know that it is true, what would possibly be the objection to wanting to clean up the atmosphere?
Oh, I'll give you the objection. You ready?
Even if... It wasn't scientifically valid.
I'm going to give you a serious objection, not just because the corporations make a lot of money by polluting, which is true.
Which is a good reason.
But let me tell you what I think is the real problem with environmentalism. It has to do with what economists call the free rider effect. Basically, the planet is warming because of what everyone is doing. And Mike Tidwell taking extraordinary steps to reduce his carbon footprint is the exception. It's a very noble exception, but it costs him a little more. And the way we see it is, well, let the other guy do it. Why should I pay a little more to make my life a little bit harder if the other guy isn't doing it? And the other guy, you know what he's saying? Well, why should I pay a little bit more when China's not doing more? And the Chinese are, why? I mean, everyone's looking at everybody else, and this isn't a problem where, I mean, it's a problem only where we can all work together. And everyone else says, well, you know, I'm not going to do it until he does it. And that's the free rider problem in economics. It's a real problem. It's a worldwide problem. It's a local problem. No one wants to sacrifice first.
Let me throw another problem in there. It's a broader problem. And here's a reality, unfortunately. People don't believe that mankind could face calamitous events. People do not believe, you know,
it's scary.
Yes, people, the average person sees the stability of their short life of 70 years, roughly. They see a stable planet. They see what's a fairly stable economic system. Things seem fairly stable. Most people just simply, you can't convince them of the level of calamity that is possible. If you say, look, do you realize that entire parts of the world that are fertile now will become desert, that Florida will be underwater, that blah, 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 and say all these terrible things that can happen. It simply sounds like, you know, spacey talk to them. Most people don't believe these things will, don't really, even a lot of people who may listen to this show and who may say, oh, yes, I believe, you know, in climate change. They don't really grasp the reality of what can happen because it's scary to get a hold of that.
You know, and part
but
of
it's the truth.
Part of the reason might be, and it's sort of a strange association that I hadn't made before, but probably the reason is we've become so urbanized as a country, and it's happening more and more around the world, of course.
We're not outside enough.
Well, we're not involved with the land. If you're a farmer, you know darn well what calamity is. You know, you can get flooded, you can get drought.
Yep.
You know what can happen, and it means everything.
And if you live on the Japanese coastline, you're aware of the weather.
Exactly, yeah.
If you live in, you know, like,
I mean, that's
along,
thing. You know,
or along the Mississippi.
In modern industrialized nations like China, it doesn't just happen in Haiti and Indonesia, right? People are like, oh, that only happens in the third world.
Yeah, right.
Here you have
Australia.
The most advanced nation on Earth. Sometimes I think Japan's more advanced than we are. And, of course, they have the calamitous earthquake, tsunami, nuclear disaster. You've got what happened in Joplin, Missouri. You got tornadoes in my home state of Tennessee coming pretty close to where my family lives in Nashville. It's all around us, but as Garland points out, no one wants to think about that.
No.
That's sad thoughts. Let's watch TV and let's
have fun. Yeah, I guess that's it.
Family.
I guess we're not going outside. I mean, you know, when I grew up in Missouri, you know, we had tornadoes fairly frequently in our area. Again, the 57 tornado, which was real bad. We never got hit by literally the grace of God. But we would always go outside prior to a tornado. One, because those of you who experienced tornadoes, the weather beforehand, the color of the sky is absolutely iridescently beautiful. It's a greenish yellow.
I think God's punking you, Terry.
That you never.
He's like, come on out, take a look, take a look, right. And bam!
Yeah, you never see it except as a tornado. I mean, prior tornado, it's the only time it happens. In fact, I mean, even in a theatrical situation, I had one lighting designer in a show that I was doing where tornado was part of the show, or weather change was part of the show, and he was able to achieve that color through with lighting. And people in the audience who have experienced became very nervous just by the lighting effect because it predicts what's going to happen. Then the other thing that's really kind of amazing, and you can't ever experience if you're outside just watching C-SPAN or Fox News or whatever else, is right before a tornado hits or any really severe storm, all the insects, all of the birds go silent. There is no noise. And if you're tuned to it, if you have a chance to turn off your damn cell phone or whatever and give a listen, it is incredibly eerie. It is pure silence. Then the storm. And it's like they all know what's happening. And if you have dogs, you probably know that dogs will sense right before a storm when it really hits and get very nervous. And very. So like it's all of nature is perfectly aware of this.
You're right.
Except for this group of human beings
who are sitting in a room being yelled, BS, climate change.
Yeah,
you know, it's really, But on the more positive side, I mean, I'm sure you saw this morning, Mark and Garland, the really kind of exceptional state position that Germany has taken.
Yes,
about nuclear power.
I mean, that's
incredible.
I don't
know how they can do it. I mean, I understand the green movement. I wore green tonight for anyone.
Thank you.
You're part of the green movement. And look, even his little cover over his microphone is green.
Exactly. Yeah. I got to tell you, I applaud Angela Merkel. How the heck is she going to do it? 25% of their energy is from nuclear power.
22.
She says she's not going to go to coal or other things that are going to burn carbon.
Maybe they'll do hydroelectric.
Well, she's talking about wind and solar. I think it's great. I think it's ambitious. I wish them well. Can they do it?
The interesting thing, of course, the nuclear industry in Germany has said, oh, no, it's not possible and you'll have blackouts. I really feel they're going to try to sabotage the whole change because all they got to do is shut down one plant and throw the grid out of balance. Yeah. You know, and you can have a blackout.
You know the other part of it, Mark? The other part of it is this. When you say, is it possible? The reality is it's very possible.
Yes.
It's very, and I tell you why. Because if you say we're going to do this, if she says to the country, look, we're going to, let's just say, send a man to the moon.
Oh, what an idea.
It's impossible. When you come up with something like that, you know, at the time it seems like, oh, how am I going to do this? It's impossible. I'm not going to do it. But once you say, well, this is what we're going to do, okay, let's set about to do it, they will surely do it.
And they do.
If that's their intent to do, they'll do it.
I have mixed feelings about nuclear energy, and this may not be non-progressive, but I'm going to say it anyway. The thing about nuclear energy is, obviously, I wouldn't put it in a tsunami zone. I wouldn't put it in an earthquake zone. I think Japan absolutely needs to shut off nuclear power there. There are no major earthquake zones I'm aware of in Germany. You know, nuclear power doesn't give us carbon emissions. And when I compare it to coal, which is causing global warming, I got to say it's one devil versus another devil. I support wind, I support solar, I support geothermal, I support really building up a green grid, I support all of those things. But I wonder whether between nuclear and coal, I almost prefer safe nuclear power.
Well, yeah, but
if that were the only option.
Yeah, if that were the only option, you might have a point, but it's not. And you mentioned them. Geothermal is probably the easiest and biggest one to use, period.
I mean, depends on where you live. I mean, there's certain areas of the earth you can get geothermal energy.
You get geothermal anywhere, because what you're basically doing is a sophisticated heat pump situation. It's simply you're going deeper than a heat pump goes. You only have to go down. I mean, I looked into this for my house. I would require a 10 foot deep, 6 foot wide trench that we'd put pipes in. Hmm. You know, and we'd have to run for my house, which is a relatively small house, you know, a couple thousand square feet. You know, it would require 200 feet of piping that we'd have to lay down. You can do it in loops. You can do it vertical, straight down. You can do it horizontal. But once you lay down those 200 feet for my situation, it'd be less for a smaller place, you know, then you have that constancy in temperature that essentially is the same as a heat pump, although more sophisticated. It's not that you're creating steam or anything like that. You're just creating a temperature differential that you can therefore regulate and adjust to. And it can be done very easily. Cost money, sure, but you know what the heck doesn't? I mean, and that's another thing that's all part of this. It's so important for people to realize you've got to figure in the real cost of stuff.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. And we don't do that. You know, we pretend gasoline is just $5 a gallon. That's nonsense.
Yeah, it's throwing the cost of the war to keep the gasoline.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Not to mention the lives lost. Oh, by the way.
Yeah. And I should mention too, and you may know this, but Chancellor Merkel in Germany, you know, is a physicist. I mean, that's her background.
Well, then we may as well discount everything she says.
Oh,
she's a physicist.
Yeah, I guess,
she
right. Yeah, yeah.
She lives in an ivory tower on the west side. I heard it once on the.
And they do have already a very large percentage of power being produced by wind and by solar. Yes, in Germany.
The article you showed me said it was only 10%.
Well, 10% is a lot.
10% is actually a lot for an entire country at this point.
Well, but when nuclear power is 22%.
22%.
She's talking
over a 10-year period. Now,
okay. Over a 10-year period, maybe. I hope it's up. I've always believed that the more we put into these technologies, the cheaper they get. It's true of
absolutely
any technology.
Absolutely.
You know, the railroads or the cars to begin with.
But see, the problem here, and Terry brought it out with really the topic of the show. The problem in America is not our technological ability to advance. You know, as you just said, Mark, if we put enough money into wind and solar and tidals and all these other things, without a doubt, we would get them up to a point where we could get away from coal and we could make some serious changes here. The problem in America is that we can't get there because of the mentality of our citizens, just what we were talking about here.
And, people, and the greed of the corporate interests, yes, because let's face it, they make a lot of money on the old technology.
Right. And that money goes into politics, and now I can turn on National Geographic Channel, and I can watch a bunch of climatologists and meteorologists show, you know, glaciers melting, right, or helicopters over giant holes in
to
the ice.
That's very
they can show all these things, right?
Yeah.
I can turn on C-SPAN and see some senator from, you know, Crapville, Alabama, tell me.
Have you been to Crapville? I got to tell you, it's not
fact,
a very nice place.
There's a GOP place. No, but
I went there once, and it just wasn't a nice place.
But I can watch some, and you know, to be honest, some right-wing conservative senator, most likely from the Deep South,
or the West,
tell me that those guys on the National Geographic Channel, and God forbid my lying eyes, are all wrong. This guy, no, now he's getting $2 or $3 million from, you know, Monsanto and the Koch brothers, et cetera. Right. That has nothing to do with it. This guy tells me they're all wrong, and my lying eyes tell me that everything that's cold is melting from Greenland up.
To me, it's the Arctic ice. How do they explain that? Explain everything else.
If you know for a fact, this is just a social fact, Allstate has cut out insurance for Virginia, Maryland, et cetera, the coastline, period. Forget
very little news about that.
You know, Florida, the same thing. They're not going to be given insurance, you know, all along. I mean, I was just down in Florida, and you drive along the coast. I mean, houses for sale just go on forever and forever and forever. And one of the reasons is they can't get any insurance on the coast. They're not going to be insured, you know. And besides that, if you have any other question, you know, look, the Pentagon is planning for social economic upheaval because of global
warming. Island nations that are already looking to get off their islands and find some place to relocate their residents.
I mean, you know, the Pentagon may do some foolish things, but, you know, this is not one of them.
May do some foolish things?
Well, you know, usually only Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Friday, they sort of, you know, sort of.
And Saturday and Sunday.
And, you know, in reality, you don't have to be a sophisticated scientist to figure this out. There are three things that are not in dispute. Not in dispute anywhere in the scientific community. Number one, the temperature of the Earth is going up.
Yep. And has been for the
last century steadily. It is being caused by the emission of CO2 gas from mankind.
Contributed to by.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I forgot what number three was. But whatever number three was.
The Arctic ice is melting.
It's not
I told
in dispute
you. You don't have any friends that are polar bears.
When you
like
get
I
my
did
age, you'll
tell me seal hunting is lousy.
Yes.
They have no place to sit.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't talk to the animals?
I am glad.
Maybe I had a little twitch to drink.
I am glad seal hunting is lousy. I really am. You know. Hey, we got to take a break here. We're winding on the first half hour of the show. This is Terry D. Kester with Raucous Caucus. On my right is
Mark Levine,
who loves polar bears. And on my left
is Garland Nixon,
who likes polar bears riding camels.
And who can't count to three, I might add.
Well, you can count to three.
Yeah,
I just can't remember why.
Remember, at my age, three's a lot of things to remember.
But we're trying to sort it out here. We're trying to get some science involved and have some fun. This is the Raucous Caucus down at Ben's Next Door,
1211 U Street.
1211 U Street. Come on down and join us. Jump into the fray. And we will be back in just a moment.
At 89.3 FM, this is member supported WPFW, Washington.
Why do I throw myself into the night?
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening and welcome once again to the Raucous Caucus. I am Terry D. Kester. On my right is
Mark Levine.
Is your mic on? Make sure to.
Is my mic on? Did you turn my microphone on?
I did. I'm sorry.
Mark Levine.
He caught me. Garland, I think I left your mic on.
And on the left here is Meatloaf. Because as I said, as Meatloaf said in Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, two out of three ain't bad.
No one knows what you're talking about, darling.
There's a lot of people who know me.
Nobody knows.
Meatloaf song, Paradise by the Dash. Paradise by the Dash. If you know Meatloaf, then you're with me.
Anyway, we're talking.
Didn't Donald Trump fire Meatloaf or something? I don't know. Whatever. Never mind.
We're talking science here, believe it or not, on the Raucous Caucus tonight, and you are welcome to join us. We're talking about the inevitability, the presence of the inevitability of global warming.
Well, don't say it's inevitable because we can do things to slow it down.
We can slow it down.
Yeah, but we ain't going to.
But,
Mark,
you know, the change is the change. The point is the change is happening. And that's the point of, I brought up Mike Tidwell before, and that's his point. It's happening now. It's not going to happen in the next century. It's not going to happen in the next 20 years.
What do you mean it's not going to? Oh, yeah, that's right.
It is happening now. And I wanted to get back to you mentioned the thing about nuclear and some doubts about that. You know that China has put a hold on all nuclear reactors.
Yep.
Japan has put a hold on
Japan has very good reason to put a hold on nuclear reactors.
I can understand.
Germany says they're going to phase them out.
France is keeping them.
You know, well, United States are going to build more.
Don't we have one?
I don't think we will.
Don't we have one in Tornado Alley?
Probably. It's a good place for it.
We have two in California. I know
but
that.
One of
directly
them are
on the San Andreas Fault, I might add.
Nice.
Which is
nice.
A good place for them, if you think about it, Terry. It's got to be somewhere.
Why not? Well,
why
there actually, there is one out in California that's on a fault.
What
it's not on the San Andreas Fault, but it's San Andreas Fault, but there is one, as a matter of fact.
What could happen?
What could happen, As somebody pointed out, actually, it was the German ambassador to the United States. I don't know if you heard this, but I heard it on the way in tonight. The ambassador from Germany explaining Chancellor Merkel's decision said, one of the frank reasons is we live in Germany. We're there during Chernobyl.
Right.
There are still, 25 years later, there are foods they cannot get
I would go within 50 miles of Chernobyl.
Wow.
I mean, there are berries. There are certain berries. For a while, they couldn't get, for years, they couldn't get milk. There was all kinds of stuff they could not get because of the radioactive damage from Chernobyl. Now, you can sit and blame the Russians all you want. The point he was making, and it's a very valid point, there is too much within nuclear power that is has to be constantly controlled.
It is a very dangerous technology.
It's a very
no question
dangerous,
about it. It's
very
a
complex.
Tiger, trying to get a cage tiger to run on a treadmill.
And it's
the stakes
are
high.
If you ever tried to do that, you get a lot of scratches.
No, and it's a cascade. You know, once things start to go wrong and get out of balance within your nuclear reactor, your consequences are a lot higher than almost any other
form of
energy.
But here's the thing in the discussion on global warming, Terry. It needs to be pointed out that actually nuclear power, in a weird sense, slows down the increase in global warming because there are no emissions. Don't get me wrong. There's radioactive waste. There's the danger of a meltdown. There's all kinds of dangers in nuclear power. But for a global warming debate, nuclear power.
You can't build a plant, at least in the United States, and I'm sure in most other countries, you cannot build a state-of-the-art nuclear plant in any shorter time frame today than you could with geothermal, solar.
It does take
a
long time.
Yeah, it takes a long time. It's
true.
Incredibly complex, and it's even more complex
That's
now.
True.
And
so the good news is you won't die from the effects of global warming. The bad
die
news
from
is
radiation.
Your hair will fall out, your eyes will bug out, and you'll barf green stuff.
Yeah, and one of the things that irritates me the most, and, you know, I'm sure it does you guys too, whenever we hear this talk of any politician and news organizations that talk about clean coal, I mean, if there's ever been two words that have been put together that are a total lie,
there's no such thing.
That was it. No, of course not.
Or when someone like, I'm sorry, the President of the United States talks about new drilling.
And he talks about clean coal.
Here's what the National Oceanics, I think it was National Oceanic Administration. I started this newspaper. I'm trying to remember my source. It was a government source. Said that new drilling will not decrease gas prices one bit in 2020. But hold on. By 2030, in 19 years, it will actually, new drilling, this is why Obama wants it, will decrease the price of gasoline 3 cents a gallon.
Hot damn.
3 cents a gallon after 19 years of despoiling our environment.
And the way things are
going,
the way things are going, by that time, that'll be like the average daily wage of an American anyway.
Yeah, right.
We'll be getting if the corporations have their way.
You know, we're not gonna
believe our poster.
We're not going to be able to afford gasoline anyway. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Look at there. Wow.
Local artist, yes. Carolyn Romano.
Carolyn.
Can see at the Torpedo Factory. Has designed for us, right here at Ben's Next Door, a poster. Because a lot of times we're here, and the good folks down at Ben's Next Door don't realize we're just up the stairs, back, behind the curtain that helps stop some of the sound.
Acoustics.
The acoustic curtain. So Carolyn Romano has designed for us a wonderful poster she's just showing to us for the first time.
Hooray. Wow.
If you want to see
it's awesome.
Come down.
It's great. The only thing I want to know is who's the bald guy in it? You know.
I believe that's... it's not supposed to look like us, Terry. It's sort of like us.
You know, it's representative of three really intelligent guys.
There we go. Three intellectuals right there I'm looking at.
And I guess to be intellectual, one of them needs to be
bald. Hey, look, they're discussing global warming. I can see it right there.
Yeah, right.
You can tell if you read lips.
Yeah. Really, that's great, Carolyn. That's fantastic.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. Please put it up.
Yeah. And again, Carolyn has exhibits of her work at the Torpedo Factory
in Old Town Alexandria.
Yep.
If you've never been to the Torpedo Factory
and
you live in the Washington region, you've really missed out on something.
And actually, didn't they used to make tornadoes?
It used
to be
a Torpedo Factory. Yes, we're talking about turning swords into plowshares. This is torpedoes into art.
Yeah. What a nice idea.
It was a disused torpedo factory in World War I, World War II. And I believe it was Marianne Van Landingham, I believe, was the one, the local artist who became a state representative. Who had the idea in 1960s, I think it was. The federal government sold it to the city of Alexandria for $1. And, of course, you can watch artists do their work there at the Torpedo Factory.
Unfortunately, it was...
artists like Carolyn Romano.
Unfortunately, it was only because the price of torpedoes dropped. After the war, there was just not the market for it, you know, and you had to do something with the building. But, no, I like your image, though, of changing it into plowshares, you know. I mean, swords into plowshares. And it's got to be done... And I guess, you know, my big question is why everything that makes any sense, everything that's really necessary has, and I don't want to get into a whole economic discussion here, but has dropped out of the topic, the political topics of the day, so we can do this BS about the deficit and the
spending. Or the long-form birth certificate.
Or that.
We could definitely talk about it. Look.
We're not even facing the serious issues.
Terry, climate change is complicated, and most people don't have a degree
in climatology. Economics
is complicated. It's a lot easier just to blame the black guy who's president.
I guess that's the whole point. Muslim
Kenyan socialist, or I don't know, whatever else they told me on Rush Limbaugh's show. I wasn't listening too clearly.
You know, and that brings up another point, which I sort of don't even like to get into, but I'm going to. The consequence of any social, political, economic, or natural disaster, the consequence always, always punishes the poor and the middle class.
Well, sure.
Totally out of proportion.
Because they're not watching it. And they're not profiting from it. And they don't have lobbyists in Congress.
And I mean, you know, but I mean, this is a class issue, believe it or not. Because I mean... You know, actually, there was a fascinating program, and maybe we're the ones that are just going to lose out because we don't want to change. There was a program about, I think it was the front line, as a matter of fact, which I have a great deal of respect for, on Bangladesh and the ways that people are adapting already to the rising water. I mean, they're dealing with the issue. They are adapting in personal ways, in government ways, et cetera. They're compensating for it. We're not doing diddly.
No.
You know, I mean...
We're not even admitting that the water's rising.
Yeah, we're sitting around with floods going down the Missouri and the Mississippi River saying, well, heck, we built this dike system, you know, what, 40 years ago, 50 years ago,
longer.
And it doesn't work, and we know it doesn't work, but we're going to keep on using
that. It does work. It just doesn't work as well as a modern system.
Well, there's good news. When the glaciers have completely melted in Canada, then all our major rivers in the West won't run anymore, and we won't have to worry about flooding.
It don't work that way, Charlie.
There'll be a few other side problems.
Yeah, rain, you know, and that's what we're seeing already. I mean, so much of this weather is being caused by the increased absorption of moisture in the atmosphere, which is a direct result of the increase in temperature. Warm air holds more water.
I was on, and I'm going to say it. Ready? Sit down.
Hurt me.
Brace yourself. I was on Fox
Don't
News.
Say it.
And I was talking with a host there by the name of Eric Bowling last winter when we had a lot of snow. And Eric Bowling said, see, we had a lot of snow. That proves there's no such thing as global warming. I tried to explain to Eric Bolling.
Couldn't you have just slapped him silly?
Well, they don't allow that on the air.
On Fox,
I tried
sure
to explain to him that actually there is more moisture in the air in warmer temperatures. That when it is 0 degrees Fahrenheit or 5 degrees Fahrenheit, it is what the locals call too cold to snow. And you get only a little bit of precipitation. But because warmer air, namely 25 degrees Fahrenheit, 30 degrees Fahrenheit, has a lot more moisture in it,
yep,
these massive snows were actually caused by global warming. But then his head exploded and I had to pick up
the and therein lies the problem, you know, because whether or not he knew the truth, I don't know. That's an awful simplistic, you know, apparently they don't know that he doesn't know the difference between weather and climate.
Apparently not.
It's so simplistic that the what's unfortunate is this.
Garland, what is the difference between weather and climate?
Weather is what
I just know is
weather,
weather is local. Weather
right
is
now.
Small. Climate is large and long term.
Just in case other people don't know, I think you should.
Weather is immediate. It's proximate.
Yeah. Weather is what's going on outside now.
Right
climate
now. Yeah.
Is
and
long.
Climate is patterns.
Changes. That's yes. exactly
patterns.
Right.
Just
because
way.
You know what? We still have winter and summer. And just because the temperature may change by more than 5 degrees in a day, that's no big deal. But when the worldwide temperature changes 5 degrees
that's a lot.
Over 100 years, that is a massive difference.
And see, again, the problem of our media, and that is you have people watching Eric, watching whoever it may be on the mainstream media.
When they
media.
Could be right here down at Ben's next door watching
1211 U Street, you know? Listening at 89.3 WPFW in Washington.
I continue, sorry.
Yeah, but... And they're watching these things, and they're listening to that, and they don't know the difference. They really have no idea. So many, unfortunately, so many people, the three of us, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, we research information. We go on the net. We look all over. There are a lot of people, they go to work.
They go on
whatever
the internet,
they're doing,
Garland.
They come home.
They go to different websites.
They turn on the news, and they watch the news of their choice, whether it's Fox or MSNBC or whatever. They watch the propaganda of their choice, and they believe everything. You know, I have listened to Rush Limbaugh plenty of times, and I've heard people call
you guys are sinners.
And say to him,
oh,
I learned everything I know about politics from you. So many people, they
you know
turn
what?
On the news and they listen to people like this who are making millions from the energy corporations. All the money is behind them to defraud the public about what's going on with climate change. And people are watching this. They don't know anything else. And ultimately, we can't get cap and trade. We can't get anything through because the masses are so uninformed.
And there's something scarier going on.
Something
scarier going on.
Well, I don't know what can
and
be
I'm
scarier,
reminded
but go
of this
ahead.
Fact, I watched just recently a retrospective of Walter Cronkite. Because there was what a great man.
Yeah,
there,
remember they had science
there
reporters?
There was a time in the 60s,
I grew
the
up
70s,
in
the 80s, even into the 90s, when there was the most trusted name in news, where there was a person, whatever Walter said, you could take it to the bank. It was true. We all watched the same news sources. That time is ancient history now.
Yeah.
That's last millennium. Today, there you go to your website that says the things that you want to hear from the people you like. I go to my website. And now, and this is the really scary thing, we even talked about this on the air, Google and other corporations are actually controlling what we see.
Oh,
they,
yes.
They did a
yeah.
fast,
oh, yes.
It's fascinating.
Believe it.
Google, you can do the same search on Google. I can write climate change. And if I'm a liberal, Google will tell me what Rachel Maddow had to say on it, what the scientists had to say on it, and so forth. If I'm a conservative, Google will tell me what Rush Limbaugh had to say on it, Sean Hannity had to say on it. And the amazing thing is we don't even realize that the exact same search, using the exact same phrases by two people with different views, Google gives us different – because they say, oh, well, we know you like the liberal sites or you like the conservative sites. That, and then suddenly there's no facts anymore. There's
and
no
and
truth
this is
anymore.
Growing exponentially. That's the
people
problem.
People don't even know they get different searches.
And the reason – and think
but,
about
you know,
it.
But that brings up the next question I want to ask you
guys. We live in different
guys.
Worlds today.
We got this whole different world technologically in terms of information. We got this, you know, this society all over the place in terms of each person pursuing only what they want to believe. Can the empire change? Can the empire do anything? Will the empire do anything about it?
If Luke Skywalker goes after them.
Not until they have no other alternative.
What do you need after Katrina, after what happened in Joplin?
There's still an alternative.
You know,
that was poor people in Katrina.
That's right.
The poor people suffered.
And Joplin's a relatively small town.
Yeah, when poor people or middle class people suffer – nothing's going to happen as a result. Only when it gets to the point where the wealthy and the powerful will actually suffer or are hurting. Now, that's when things are changed. But unfortunately, with issues such as climate change, you know, we're getting to a tipping point, according to the scientists. But
according
to
the Pentagon,
who listens to scientists? But obviously, the Pentagon listens to science.
Yeah,
scientists.
And so the insurance companies.
But when it gets to a point where things are falling apart, well,
it is at that point. That's the point.
Well,
we're just
after they've fallen apart.
Here's the thing: when Al Gore warned us, and I've always been a big
10 years ago.
Oh yeah,
close to 20 now.
Yeah,
yeah.
That, you know, Inconvenient Truth, this was coming. He was laughed. He was mocked. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Just like when he said the internet would be a big deal. They mocked him about that, too. I'll tell you, one of the most foresighted people in the American political system. And the fact that...
even Jimmy Carter wasn't too bad. Solar panels on the White House
in the 70s.
Reagan took
off. Bunch of liberal elitists.
That's right. So here's the thing. At that time, we really didn't see the massive hurricanes and tornadoes and snowstorms and rising water. The Arctic wasn't melting then.
100 degrees in May.
It is just starting to happen now. May used to be a month. It's my birthday month. I love May.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. I used to love May.
Happy birthday.
I always thought it was the best of spring. April had a lot of showers, a little bit of cold. July and August were too hot. June was starting to get too hot. May was the perfect month of 70-degree weather, do things outside. Now, here it is. It's May 31st. And we already, it's what, 100 degrees outside?
103 with the humidity.
Soon, April will be spring?
Yeah.
And then there's
a reason for this, too. I mean, now partially it's connected by La Nina. And what's La Nino?
Nino.
But anyway. Part of it is, but it's exacerbated again by global warming. The jet stream has moved. The jet stream is farther north than it's been for, well, practically ever.
About a million and a half years, probably.
Yeah, and it's totally changed the climate. And in fact, we're talking about the effects. In Texas right now, they are already in a worse drought situation than they were during the Great Depression and the dust storms.
They'll just rewrite the textbooks in Texas.
Yeah,
now
what
you're doing, not that it's actually wet.
You know, Texas does produce a lot.
God is angry because of the liberal elites, and that's why he sent the dust storm over Texas.
Yeah. And all the people that, you know, would have gotten hurt have been
wrecked. Just think about this year. We had this huge rain pattern over the center of the country and massive floods.
Right.
And now we're having these, tornadoes of biblical proportions. And I mean, you know, we're only not even 6 months into, God forbid, we haven't gotten hurricane season yet.
I know. That's really scary.
And at the same time, surprisingly enough, if I just checked the paper today, even with these deluge storms, we are behind in our water still for this area.
And you have to ask yourself a question.
And if you can't.
It's all going out the Morganza spillway.
And if you combine this with the fact that we're depleting our aquifers at an incredible rate, not to mention polluting our waters at an incredible rate, we're in a really difficult situation
here. Terry, the more you say things like that, I know it's all true, but it's awfully depressing. And a lot of people are going to be, I'm driving down the road and I want to hear those three funny guys, and they're talking about the depressing idea that the globe is warming and we're all doomed.
I've got it.
I've got to put on the comedy channel.
I've got it. We'll lie.
Okay.
We'll just lie. We'll do.
Everything's
going to
be
folks. Yeah, it's all fine.
But, Mark, you know, when it comes down to it, yeah, people may be freaked out for a couple minutes. But the truth is, and I believe this, people don't really believe it.
They don't want to believe it.
They won't.
Why would they want to believe
it?
It's depressing.
And then they believe it in Joplin.
Yeah, then they go back to
whatever. They believe it in Japan.
Yeah.
They really do, and
the
we're
only
gonna
people
find
I don't live
and
in
you know
Japan.
What, Terry? That, again, that makes
it's
my
only,
point.
It's only places with
the
J name.
Only time
I don't live in a place with a J name. No Joplin. No Japan.
Oh,
I'm
that's
okay.
It, that's it. Right.
If you have a J and a P in the name, you're
safe.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it. That's
and otherwise,
to do with it.
Weather won't affect you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we found a pattern. Let's look around for places that have J and P in it, and we'll just evacuate them all.
Don't go to Jacksonville, whatever you do.
There's no P in Jacksonville.
Oh, there isn't?
We're okay.
But it's on like a Florida's kind of a peninsula. Think about it. It's kind of a peninsula thing going on.
That's true.
There is one thing. You know, we did a show on this on What's at Stake not too long ago, and this woman named Lisa called, and I really appreciated her call. It was a call-in show just a short while ago, and much the same topic. and looking for solutions. And her solution regarding whether the empire is going to do anything and what you can do about the empire, her solution was to, now some people are going to think this is ridiculous, but we explored it, and it's not, withdraw from the empire.
Well, how the Wookiees allow that? Wait, I'm confused.
How do you withdraw?
Who withdraws?
From the,
like individually?
Individually, as citizens, and begin to do that so that you are not contributing to the status quo.
So we don't buy products made by 9-year-olds in China?
That might be a start,
but you mentioned
you had an organic garden going.
Yep.
Or something. Tell me.
Yep.
My wife, you know, has earth boxes. I don't know if you're familiar with these. It's only 3 feet long, mm-hmm. 1 feet deep, 1 foot wide. We get all of our vegetables in the summer. All of our vegetables. Lettuce, you know, mm-hmm. tomato,
from
cucumber.
One earth
everything.
Box?
No, we have about 10 of them.
Oh, okay.
You know, she grows all of her own vegetables. You know, there's no, these can be put on a patio. These can be put on a balcony. These could be put on a roof.
I hear Michelle Obama's having some.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll stand by the side of the road and sell some vegetables.
And as we've talked about in terms of geothermal and combining, and this I've explored in detail, so I know this is true, you can create total energy independence, so you're selling back to the grid if you even want to be connected.
That's true.
Terry, let me ask you this.
You can do this on your home.
It's got to be a lot more expensive for you to set up geothermal under the ground in your house with 200 feet of pipe than to have some utility put out 2 million feet of pipe and then sell it through the existing grid to you, right? Economies of scale. Isn't it cheaper if some, I don't know, government
Let me give you an example. My lousy old furnace died 2 years ago. You know, so I had the shop to replace the furnace AC system, right? The HVAC system.
You should have been cooking those drugs in it.
Yeah. Now, if I'd had enough money, I would have gone ahead with geothermal. It would have cost me about $6,000. I literally did not have that kind of money. And that was even including I was going to do my own backhoe work, mm-hmm. you know, and dig the darn trenches. But I still had to pay $4,000, you know, for the new furnace HVAC.
Mm-hmm.
So just if I'd been in a little bit better situation.
Or if the government gave you a subsidy.
Yeah, if I were in a little bit better situation, I could have gone geothermal, and I wanted to, and if I could have borrowed the money without putting myself in more debt and everything else, I would have done it. It's not that much more expensive.
And it will get cheaper over time.
And it will get cheaper.
But my point
once it's in, you don't need anything else.
It will all be dead, Mark, by the time it's cheap. You know, we'll have drowned or, you know, burned up to a crisp by the time it's, you know,
what I don't understand is
affordable.
This. Most technologies, electricity, perfect example. If you create your own electricity with your own generator, it's going to cost you more per kilowatt than if some massive company creates their electricity using the same technology.
Not true.
Why isn't there some large utility doing geothermal right now in the United States?
Well, there are.
I don't know the answer to that question.
There are. It's out in the Pacific Northwest primarily.
And that's because of political differences or?
It's because there it was just easily accessible. It's a lot easier, and there's more space and everything else, so it's easier to access rather than trying
less crowded.
But you know what Terry brings up? Terry brings up.
But I mean, you could take, you know, if I could convince the people on my street, my cul-de-sac, to do a joint project,
That's what I mean, a joint project would be cheaper than an individual project.
But not depending on Dominion Power to do it for me.
Well, you know what, Terry?
We could do it ourselves.
But wouldn't Dominion Power do it if the government made it economical?
Give you the independence? No. Why would they want to do that?
They want to control it. But Mark, and Terry's talking about something different because this is the local concept is now being explored with a lot of things. And it's basically, there's so many advantages to it. One being, if the people on my block or in my neighborhood, we all band together and we come up with a way to create our own electricity, right? And everyone does it in every neighborhood. Guess what happens? If a tornado wipes out whatever over here, it's right now someone could take out the electrical grid and shut down the East Coast. But if every one of our neighborhoods locally has our own, whether it's electricity or whatever, the only thing they could do is they could take out our neighborhood, but the next neighborhood over would be better off.
And,
so when you do that as far as raising food, when you do that as far, you know, raising your own fruits and vegetables, when you start to localize the things that are being that people need to live, the resources that we need to live, then it's you have less problems.
You have flexibility.
Yeah, you have less major problems because regardless of what you take out, it only affects the area that's damaged.
And private industry knows this. How do you, I don't know if you're aware of this. You certainly know that Google, which you mentioned before, has these massive mainframe computers. You think Google gets its electricity from the grid? No, they do not.
Is it geothermal? I don't know that.
It's fuel cells.
Fuel cells.
By a company called Bloom, B-L-O-O-M, Bloom Industries, produces this incredibly efficient, phenomenal fuel cell generating system. Runs on natural gas, so you're still connected somehow or other to that, but it runs on natural gas. That's what powers Google's mainframe facilities. Totally independent. They don't need the grid.
So if the grid goes out, Google's still up.
Google can do it. You and I can do it. You can buy, I've got a catalog at home, you can buy your own solar panels and assemble them. About $200 a panel.
No, it's interesting. Solar panels.
That's
were, I know we're designed in the United States by American scientists, and now they're far more often used in China.
Yeah. I mean, you would need more than one panel. I didn't want to mislead with that price.
But you can buy for a few thousand.
You can buy the number of kilowatts you need in terms of panels, and you can have your own solar energy. Yes, there's a storage problem, but it's not an insolvable problem. Yes, you require batteries. So you got, you know, one cabinet in your garage that's filled with batteries.
We only have a few minutes, Terry. How do we get from here to there? What are you asking people to do? To go out themselves, to convince the government, to give subsidies?
No, I'm convinced. I'm asking, with what I'm labeling in honor of Lisa, it's the Lisa plan.
The Lisa plan?
The Lisa plan. And part of it is individual energy independence. Go for it. Go for it in every way you can in your neighborhood.
Raise your own vegetables?
Yeah, in your apartment building, in your condo building, whatever. There's no reason a condo building's board couldn't vote to do this, you know.
Yeah, you're a good point.
I mean, and eliminate all this dominance that we have that is dominance by private industry that is preventing us from making the technological, sociological, economical progress that we must
make. And let me add one more ickle. And
one
that's psychological. Because I think for many people, this is a psychological barrier.
Yeah.
People hear the environment. Listen, right-minded Americans, intelligent Americans know climate change is happening. But it's big and it's vague and it's ugly and it's depressing. And they don't feel like they could psychologically get out of this paradigm and move to a different paradigm.
But that's what's so beautiful about the Lisa plan. It's so simple.
The Lisa plan.
This sounds like a commercial for a book. That's what's beautiful about the plan. It's so simple. You can just slice and dice and for only $49.95 plus shipping and handling.
But you can really start to make the change yourself. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I do have a rain barrel. You know, so I collect water in our rain barrel. So my wife has all these earth boxes. So what do we use to water the earth boxes every single day? The rain well.
Yeah.
The rain barrel.
I don't think my homeowners association will let me put a barrel outside of
I don't know. Are you on the board?
Do you have a deck? I got garbage cans.
Do you have a deck?
Not
really. I mean, maybe it'll do something there.
Most of the year, we do not have to use any water to water her vegetables because we use it right out of the rain barrel. Do you know that there's enough water that falls on the roof of the Pentagon every single year to supply all the water needs in Northern Virginia?
Well, sorry.
All it does is run off. But individually, we can make these changes and withdraw from this.
I think we need to put windmills on the Pentagon.
That would actually block the terrorist planes.
They've been jousting.
I just want to point out one
of those. They've been jousting at them for years.
Yeah. This can be done. It really can. Everybody's buying generators. Why? Because they're scared. Why buy a generator? Buy yourself a solar cell.
Yeah.
You're
okay.
Right.
It can be done. The Lisa plan. Give it a try. This is Terry D. Kester promoting the Lisa plan, trying to save the world. One little step,
one little show at a time. Before we close, a local artist, Cal Romano, as I said, has designed for us a poster so that when we are here at Ben's every second, fourth, and fifth Tuesday, and people will know that we're here and will be clear to come on up and join us at 1211 U Street. When you see that poster, you'll know we're on live Tuesday at 7.
And 89.3 FM.
Carolyn Romano.
Carolyn Romano. And her work can be seen at the Torpedo Factory, or better yet, right down here at Ben's Next Door with the Raucous Caucus. I am Terry D. Kester. This is
Mark Levine.
And this
Garland is Nixon.
All of us can be reached on Facebook, our individual Facebooks. All of you can reach us by coming down here and joining us. We'll be back in the studio next Tuesday night. Stay tuned now to WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica for, I was going to say Africa Now,
Brother
but that's
Brother
my other show.
Brother
Off.
Brother
Off. The Jazz
Thanks
Collection.
Thanks to Luke and
the
David
Jazz
on the
Collection.
Board.
Yeah, right.
And we're out.
And we're out.
You've been listening to another special edition of the Raucous Caucus, featuring Terry D. Kester, Mark Levine, and Garland Nixon. Brought to you live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica in Washington, D.C. Next.
Greetings, WPFW listeners. WPFW's local station board invites you to... Greetings, WPFW listeners. WPFW's local station board invites you to the LSB's monthly meeting on June 8th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. The LSB meets the second Wednesday of each month. LSB members come from and